This is the Afternoon Magazine, and today we're going to talk about enjoying the great outdoors in Illinois. We'll talk about the state's most scenic places, and there are a lot of them. Our guest this afternoon is naturalist and photographer Susan Post. She's a wildlife biologist with the Illinois Natural History Survey. She's also an avid hiker and the author of Hiking Illinois. The book features 107 suggestions for day hikes in Illinois. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your stories of hiking in Illinois. What do you recommend? Do you have questions about a particular area of the state you'd like to visit? Do you have some tips for taking the family? Questions, comments, stories, all are invited this afternoon. We look forward to hearing from you. The phone number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Susan Post, let me tell you a little bit more about her. At the Illinois Natural History Survey, she's worked on control of purple loosestrife, sampled streams for threatened and endangered plants, and sampled horseradish fields for insect pests. In addition to Hiking Illinois, she's the co-author of Illinois Wilds. She's staff writer for Illinois Steward magazine and is the author of Species Spotlight for Illinois Natural History Survey Reports. Her book, Hiking Illinois, is published by Human Kinetics. And the phone numbers, if you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. It's so good to see you. It's been so long.
I know. Thanks, Celeste.
Yeah, so good to see you. Well, what are the rewards of hiking? What do you find most rewarding about hiking?
To me, it's just being outside and observing what is going on. And if somebody were to ask me, what is the most important thing you can take hiking, I'd have to tell them it's a 3x5 notebook. Because I carry this 3x5 notebook with me all the time, and I'm always writing down what I see. If there's a plant I can't identify, I try to take as many notes on it as possible so then I can get back and use my field guides. If it's a bird or just anything that's going on, I'm always with this notebook writing down things that I'm observing and seeing. And my 3x5 notebooks have helped writing not only the second edition of Hiking Illinois, but also the first edition.
Yeah. Now, out across the state, there are so many opportunities for getting out and hiking, and it's something to do all year round.
And it's amazing because at first I thought, you know, oh, winter, I'm not going to be hiking. But there are some incredible hikes in the winter. Matheson State Park, for instance, up by in LaSalle County, which is Matheson's just like a sister park of Starved Rock. They have incredible ice falls. The waterfalls freeze, and you have these ice falls. Starved Rock also has the ice falls, but Matheson's not as crowded, and it's just this really nice experience.
Yeah. What are some of the other gems around the state that are underappreciated?
One of my favorite for spring wildflowers is probably Mississippi Palisades State Park. It's up in Carroll County, so it's that northwestern part of the state. Around early May, I used to say, you know, May, you know, Mother's Day, if you want to take your mom to see the flowers, you go. But things have warmed up. And so early May, the Sentinel Trail is a fabulous hike for wildflowers. Everywhere you look, it's cascades of trilliums. You might find a few orchids, jack-in-the-pulpits, bellwort. All your favorite spring wildflowers are there.
Okay. And you want to mention another underappreciated gem?
One of my other favorites happens to be in far southern Illinois. And if somebody were to ask me if you could hike one place in the state, where would you go? I'd have to say Heron Pond State Natural Area. The hike's not all that long. It's only 2.5 miles round trip. You get to see state champion cherry bark oak, which is an immense tree. But probably the best part of that hike is you're hiking out onto a boardwalk of a cypress tupelo swamp. Mm. It's mainly cypress. And this swamp, to me, is probably better than, you know, some of the ones I've seen in Texas, Louisiana. It's an incredible experience.
Okay, and that sounds like it would be an easy hike as well, since it's on a boardwalk.
You know, it's a little, the terrain might be a little bit rough getting to the boardwalk,
okay.
But it's a nice dirt trail, but then you have this wonderful boardwalk. And the site superintendent keeps the trail very well maintained, so, and there's always something going on, whether it's birds, late at dusk, there might be beaver. We've seen mink, otter, and, you know, some really nice flowers. So,
yeah. A lot of surprises out there, aren't there?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, because I think that when we think of Illinois, we think, You know, it's flat and not very exciting. But really, when you think about it, there are so many places in the state that are surprising. You mentioned Starved Rock, mm-hmm. and you mentioned what's available in southern Illinois, a swamp.
A swamp. Illinois has swamps. One thing about my book, I tried, as a biologist and a naturalist, I tried to put sites in the book where it would be things that people would actually get to see a part of what Illinois might have looked like, you know, so an Illinois of the past. You know, there is still development, but some of these sites, for example, I have a small one up in northern Illinois called Bluff Spring Fen, and it's one where I just say, you know, you go here and then explore, and it's probably less than a mile, but a fen is an area in Illinois that most people aren't familiar with. It has basic groundwater. You're going to see some of the same features that if you go to Yellowstone you'd see. So you'll see some gentians, a type of goldenrod, and has wonderful large trees. And during certain parts of the year, they have orchids and a couple rare species of butterflies. So it's just this little hidden gem that the state still happens to have.
Yeah, what is a fen exactly?
A fen is it's a wetland, and it's where the groundwater is usually near the top, and it's usually basic, as opposed to a seep, which is usually acidic.
Gotcha.
So you're going to find, you know, gentians and other calcareous-loving plants, or plants that love
them. Yeah, yeah. One of the places that I would like to visit, Giant City State Park.
I like Giant City just because of the huge rocks. I mean, you're walking in what's called this giant city, and I mean, it's these different folds, and it's like a big maze. There also is a nice wildflower trail called the Trillium Trail. Spectacular blooms probably mid-April, early to mid-April. And then, I mean, they also have near there what's called Vulture Fest. It's near Maconda, Illinois, and there's a vulture roost happens to be at Giant City State Park. And so in the fall or August, I believe it is, they have what's called
late summer
Vulture Fest. I have never been there. Friends have been there, and they said it's you know, something you got to go to.
You got to go to. Well, maybe one of our listeners has been to Vulture Fest and can call us and tell us about it. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. We're talking this afternoon about hiking Illinois with Susan Post. She is the author of The Guide, Hiking Illinois. It has 107 day hikes here between the covers of this book, Hiking Illinois. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, one of the things I find fascinating about Giant City State Park is that there's a Native American stone fort here. And also, you know, history is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You say in the guide, look for the names of Union and Confederate soldiers carved into the sandstone walls.
Right. That's in part of what they call the Giant City. And so these soldiers happened to be there during, you know, the Civil War time. And so they write their names. So it's almost like the Pioneer Rocks that they have in Nebraska and Wyoming, where people, you know, put their names.
And it got its name because it looks somewhat city-like.
Right. These big sandstone blocks have, like, sloughed off. And so they form different walls, and so you're sort of walking in this maze of walls, and it is like a small city, I guess. Hmm. It's just really nice.
Your book offers ratings on the difficulty of trails around the state, and one bootprint means easy, 5 suggests a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most challenging trail in Illinois?
We do have some 5-booters, and, you know, believe it or not, even though most people think Illinois is flat, and to me, one of the more challenging ones would probably be Fultz Hill Prairie. It's located what we call the American Bottoms. It's a little bit south of St. Louis, and it's just, you have, I think, 250 steps that go straight up. It used to not have steps, but you go straight up to what's called a hill prairie. So you're going up this limestone bluff, and on top then is this wonderful hill prairie. Hill prairies are pretty rare in the state, hill prairies are probably one of our better examples of prairie in the state, because they were also sometimes called goat prairies, because even a nimble goat couldn't get to it or graze it.
So 5 bootprints suggest a climb.
Yeah, more of a climb. Most of the hikes range from anywhere from about 2 to 4 miles. There'll be some that are a mile, and I do have a few that are a little bit over 5. But I tried to keep it so an average person could maybe do, you could string 2 of these together for a longer hike, or if you just wanted to go somewhere, you know, just one hike, you know, 2-3 miles.
Yeah, you wanted to do something, just go for a walk, essentially.
Right, right.
Yeah. What would you recommend for a family with young children?
Oh, that's a good one. Another one up in northern Illinois that I like is Volo Bog. It's a bog. You don't think of Illinois having bogs, but we do have this one, Volo. It has an eye of open water, and it has a boardwalk. The trail is, again, 1/2 mile to 3/4 mile. But you walk on this boardwalk, and the eye is so incredible because there's frogs. You might see a kingfisher, lots of dragonflies. You know, so that's a good one for small families. But then another one that's closer here to Champaign is called Ballard Nature Center, and it's in Altamont, Illinois. It's a fairly new nature center. This gentleman gave land that used to be a cornfield and woods, and he wanted it to be a place where children could have fun. And the people that have designed this, it has a wonderful nature education center, and then the trails are so children-friendly. There's one that goes by a wetland, and it has 2 or 3 ponds, and there's lots of frogs, and again, you have ducks and red-winged blackbirds. They have a fishing pond that's for children only. And then they have a couple hikes that are prairie hikes. They're, you know, not that long, maybe a mile, but you can see butterflies and other types of wildlife. And that, you know, they encourage you that, you know, if you want to catch an insect, you can just let it go. But they really want the kids to learn.
Yeah. What was it when you were a kid that set you on course to become a biologist and a hiker?
I have to credit maybe 2 people. One is my mother. She enrolled us in 4-H, and when I was in 4-H, they had a boys' club and a girls' club. And if you wanted to belong to the boys' club, you had to take boy-like projects. She told me to take entomology. I had an entomology insect collection for 12 years.
Hmm.
So that got me outside. And then the other person would be my grandmother, who always took us to the woods. She'd always have time to take us to the woods, which was really just across the road from where we lived, and it was a cow pasture. But to us, that was, you know, big trees, and there was lots to explore. And she always was picking up pine cones and things. So I'd have to credit those 2 people.
Yeah. Good women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're outside, you can do that kind of thing. I mean, kids can, they can run wild.
Right. So that's what's great also about Ballard. There's just a place for kids to run wild and explore.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and listeners, if you'd like to join us, if you've got a question, a comment, if you've got a tip to share, tell us about your favorite hike. 333-9455 is the number to join us if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Someone called in, Susan, who would like some information about White Pine State Park. The question is it still open?
Yes, White Pine State Park is still open. It was never one of those that was on the closure list, and it is listed in my hiking book. I have 2 trails there. One of them is called the Squirrel Trail, and I forget the name of the other one, but they're nice. They're nice trails. One of them is, you know, a little over a mile. The other one might be 2.5 miles, and white pines are native. That's one of the few places in Illinois where white pines are native. And some of these trees are quite huge. And before we had hiked White Pine State Park, we had been to Yosemite. And while the trees aren't that big, it did give you that impression that the trees were, you know, they were very good sized. You have the nice Northwoods pine smell. There's a lodge there, I believe a campground. It's just a really nice park.
Okay.
And a couple people, that brought up something else you might notice. Kickapoo State Park happens to be missing from this book. Castle Rock State Park is missing. Hidden Springs State Forest, and also Weldon Springs. And this book happened to be coming, getting ready to go to press while those state parks were closed.
Oh.
And the publisher said, we just can't take a chance and have those in there. And then they would be closed. So we So the book would have had more hikes had those parks not been closed.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to the third edition. But for this book, you actually went to all of these parks.
Right. I went to all the parks. I hiked them. And that's why I said when I mentioned before about my 3x5 notebooks, because I visit these parks and places throughout the year and not just when I'm told, oh, you have so many months to hike and write a book. So I always have notes, so I know what's going on. If I happen to hike the trail in fall, I know what's going on during the other seasons.
Okay, and for the listener who was interested in White Pines Forest State Park, I can give you a telephone number from Susan's book. For more information, the area code is 815-946-3717. And that's in Mount Morris, Illinois, 815, the area code, 946-3717. Other questions about hiking in Illinois are invited. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. My name is Celeste Quinn. Susan Post is our guest this afternoon. She's a naturalist. She's a photographer. She's a wildlife biologist. She works for the Illinois Natural History Survey, and she's the author of Hiking Illinois, featuring 107 day hikes. Again, those numbers, if you'd like to join our conversation, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Les Schulte is back with us this afternoon. He's our Director of Corporate Support, and he's going to tell us about another telephone number.
And that number, Celeste, is 217-244-9455. And that's an important number right now, too, because that's the number you can call and become a part of something really big, and that's becoming a friend of WILL. Right now, we're asking you to just take about 90 seconds out of your afternoon and make that call. If you haven't made a contribution yet to WILL, do it right now. We're into the last couple of weeks before the end of our fiscal year, which ends June the 30th. And on June the 30th, we must have in the bank the money that we're going to spend next year. And so that's why we're asking you to take a moment and join the thousands of people who have already made contributions this year. It's very encouraging, Celeste, as we were talking about a little bit this morning. You know, when we start the year, when we start the fiscal year, we start with zero,
right?
You know, and
that's five boot prints.
Well, sure, you know, and management says, okay, we're working out the budget estimates here, and we think we need about $2.1 million from individual contributions, and guys like me are going like, are they crazy? have they lost their minds? But the encouraging thing is that, you know, year after year, the friends of WILL understand the value of these public radio stations and public broadcasting in our area, and they step up to the plate. And they make that pledge. One out of every $3 it takes to run this station comes from member support. That makes you, the friends of WILL, the members of WILL, the single largest, most reliable source of income this station has. And that's why we're asking you right now, if you have not made your contribution yet, to join the friends who've already made their contribution and make a $40 or a $60 or a $120 a year contribution to help support a service that you use. The number is 217-244-9455. Or if you'd like, just go online to willpledge.org.
Thanks very much, Les Schulte. He's our Director of Corporate Support. Well, now let's get back to Hiking Illinois and Susan Post. And we've got some listeners calling in now. We're going to go first to a caller in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you could possibly repeat the name of the place you spoke about earlier in southern Illinois that you said was probably your favorite. If somebody asked, you know, what one place in Illinois would you go to that had the swamp and the boardwalk and all of that?
That's called the Cache River State Natural Area.
Cache River. I didn't think I'd ever heard of it before.
And it's not, I mean, if you look on your map, it's a little bit south of the town called Vienna.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most people are like, oh, where's that? And then you say, well, it's near Perks or Cypress.
Right.
But
yes, okay, the Cache River State
Natural area.
Natural area. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much. And I'm so pleased that there is such a book. I'm going to dash out. Is it the second edition available yet?
Yes. And the local bookstores have it, as well as Champagne Surplus also has it.
Oh, terrific. Thank you.
You're
very welcome. Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call from a listener on a cell phone, line 4. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling from the Princeton, Indiana area. My son and I are considering a trip over to Shawnee to do a little hiking in the Ripple Hollow area, and I'm specifically interested in the Ozark Prairie Research Natural Area and wondering if that is, you know, accessible without permission, or if, you know, just casual hikers can even enter that area.
That's an area I'm not familiar with. I'm thinking that must be, where is that near?
I think the closest town is Mill Creek. It's down close to Cape Girardeau, just, you know, on the bluffs up out of the floodplain. It's actually designated as a proposed wilderness area.
Okay.
And the research natural area is a remnant hilltop prairie. It's a federal designation, and we're interested in, you know, at least walking through, but wondering whether or not access to that is in fact restricted.
What I would do is contact the U.S. Forest Service, probably has jurisdiction, and I would contact them for the hiking information. That's
okay.
What I had to do for a couple of the sites here in the book, just to make sure that they were open and
right.
that people could actually access them.
Okay, thanks very much.
Good luck and have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Next, we take a call from a listener in Streeter. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. Line 2, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much. And thank you for your information about White Pine State Park. I really appreciate that. I'm a listener that called about that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And also, that's really pretty country from around there in Oregon. My mom lives up in Rochelle there, and we've been there several times. And I also know about a few of the surrounding parks there. Also was wondering about the Black Hawk.
You mean Black Hawk Park where they have the big statue?
Exactly.
It has been reopened because I thought that was one of the ones that was on that list as well.
I think it was closed earlier than that, I believe, maybe. I'm not sure about that. So, but anyway, that's real pretty, but they have reopened.
Mm-hmm, I think so. And one site that people can check is the Department of Natural Resources website.
Okay.
And they keep all the state park information, whether it's the campgrounds that are closed, road closures, if there's problems with anything. So they keep that website updated pretty well.
Yes, and you mentioned Star Rock and Methysian. I'm in that area. I visit that all the time. It's really pretty.
Right.
And they also reopened the Illini Park in Marseilles. That's also a beautiful park. I was wondering, do you know anything about Humiston Woods there just north of Pontiac?
No, I've not. Not heard of that one.
Okay, it's over by the landfill there north of Pontiac, off of 23 between Streeter and Pontiac, and it's really pretty. It's known for the wildflowers and the mushroom hunting.
Oh, okay.
And it's really pretty. So if anybody out there around, you know, that's from a distance, if they ever get this way, it'd be really pretty country to visit, especially if you take the back roads.
Oh, okay. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, because there's nothing, you know, you got to get out that interstate. There's nothing like the back roads to see that pretty country.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have too much of Mother Nature left. We got to keep what we got. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this afternoon. That makes me think, you know, not only are there state parks and there are, you know, national parks, national forests, there are a lot of local park districts and county forest preserves that have a lot to offer. Talk about your backyard.
Oh, and especially our county forest preserve. We have Champaign County Forest Preserve, and we have some wonderful places to hike. And Vermilion County has Kennecuck County Park and also Forest Glen County Park, which are really wonderful gems to use. And then in the northern part of the state, Lake and McHenry County, Will County, these people are constantly passing referendum to have more lands put into parklands and more upgrades. And my colleagues and I were talking today, and one person said, well, if you were handicapped, where could you recommend to have somebody go? And I said, Well, it might be a little far away, but in Lake County, a lot of their forest preserve trails are paved, and they have a new one. It's a little over 6 miles, and it's called Rollins Savannah, and it has these huge, wonderful oak trees, these just big, old, open-grown oak trees. And they've also reconstructed one or two wetlands, so you have a lot of bird life. So, and it's a nice paved path. So yeah. Sometimes, a paved path isn't bad, and you can see quite a bit.
Yeah. That makes me think of the Urbana Park District. There's a lot of territory in Urbana to travel, adjacent to Meadowbrook Park.
Oh, Meadowbrook is one of our favorite places. Just, you want to get out, and you can see so much. I mean, we watch dragonfly migration. We always hit it mid-March when the woodcocks come out to do their painting. We'll go there at dusk, and you get that wonderful show. You'll see hummingbirds on the line, always a pheasant. There's always a pheasant there. So,
yeah. And right now, at this point in the year, what might we keep an eye out for?
Well, a lot of the prairies are starting to come into bloom. You have the early, it's called penstemon. It looks like a snapdragon-type flower. They're beginning to bloom. Your coneflowers are going to be beginning to bloom soon. And then, of course, I'm an entomologist, so you've got the insects. All the different insects are starting to come out, and a lot of butterflies.
Yeah. When do we start to see lightning bugs or fireflies? And it seems like we've got to be close to peak for that.
I saw them. We were out at Allerton Park last Saturday. It was a full moon, and we led a group on a full moon hike. And as we were waiting out in the fields, hundreds of fireflies. Mm. So I think it's getting to be that time.
Okay, very good. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, Susan Post. She's a naturalist and photographer, a wildlife biologist with the Illinois Natural History Survey. She's an avid hiker and the author of Hiking Illinois, now in its second edition, published by Human Kinetics. If you'd like to join us this afternoon with a question about Hiking Illinois, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Someone called in with a question about Hidden Springs. What would be a good nature walk at Hidden Springs?
They must be talking about Hidden Springs State Forest.
Okay.
And that one was removed from the book. It was in the first edition of my hiking book, but because it was closed, they couldn't have it. And I'm trying to think, there's a couple hikes there. One of them, it goes by two of the old springs, and it also goes by what used to be the largest tree in the state. It was a sycamore tree, and it got struck by lightning and eventually died. But this trail takes you around that area, up and down into a small ravine and near a stream. It's just a nice, pleasant walk. And if you were to pick up a map at the Hidden Springs, the trails are marked. Okay. So I think they could find it that way.
Yeah. In most of the state parks, do they have maps available on site?
They usually have like the little state park map or brochure. And again, if you go to the Department of Natural Resources website and just type in that park, usually you can print out a map before you go.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Susan Post, our guest this afternoon, talking about getting out and seeing Illinois. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. So what's available for folks who like to camp and hike and bike and fish and swim?
Well, there's several of the sites up in northern Illinois. But in southern Illinois, there's an interesting site. It's called Fern Cliff State Park. And at Fern Cliff, they have, camping, and they have showers there. That's always important. They have some wonderful hiking trails. You can also go horseback riding there. And for biking, what you might want to do is take your bike along, and you could pick up what's called the Tunnel Hill State Trail. Tunnel Hill used to be a railroad line, and they have converted it into a hiking trail, hiking, biking, running, whatever. And two of the segments of Tunnel Hill are also listed in my book, as is Fern Cliff State Park. But Tunnel Hill, it has one of the longest railroad trestle or tunnels in Illinois. And it's really neat to hike because you're hiking it, and all of a sudden you're just enclosed in darkness. And then, you know, you come, you see the light at the end of the tunnel as you come out, of course. And the one part of the trail that I have you go on then takes you to a very long railroad trestle. And you hike on this trestle, and you're looking down, and then you turn around, come back. And we were doing it at dusk. And so you could see the moon through the tunnel, and you come out. So, you know, the Tunnel Hill Trail is really nice, and a lot of wildlife, you know, that you can see along the way if you happen to bike or hike the whole thing.
Okay, very good. Let's take another call. A listener in Terre Haute, Indiana, line four. Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for the show. Very interesting. A lot of great ideas. Many years ago, my wife and I stayed at a park in Illinois. And I don't remember the name of it, but it was very sandy, and there were little cactuses all over the place. Do you know what that park is?
Would that have been Sand Ridge State Forest?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Near Mason City, Havana, Illinois. It's Sand Ridge State Forest is still there. It still has lots of cactus. And there's an interesting trail or a nature preserve just adjacent to Sand Ridge called Henry Allen Gleason State Nature Preserve. And it's basically what that area looked like pre-settlement Illinois. So, you know, in the 1820s, this area looked like that. And it's just, you can look out and you don't see any telephone wires, any poles. It's just this vast sand prairie, sand area. So Sand Ridge State Forest is a nice, it's a nice campground, some nice sandy trails. It's a good place.
It's very unusual. We were really amazed to see that kind of landscape in Illinois.
And right now, a lot of the, it has like the cactus should be blooming probably in another 1 to 2 weeks, and also the butterfly weeds. So you're going to get some nice butterflies that you'll, that'll be out there.
Well, I recommend it. We really enjoyed it when we were there. And thanks again for the show.
Oh, thanks.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other calls are invited, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Camping, it's camping season, certainly. How far in advance would you want to make an arrangement for a campsite?
I think depends. If you're going during the week, I think you'd be okay. But a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Holiday,
you probably need a reservation. And I know the campgrounds here do take reservations. And also, some of the Forest Preserve campgrounds will do reservations as well.
What's the range of costs for a campsite in Illinois? Have any?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe somebody who's an avid camper will call us and let us know about that. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Listener in Urbana waiting for us on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
You mentioned a state in more northern Illinois, and I'm on a cell phone, and I got a lot of
static. Yeah, a lot of. I think she just dropped out.
We lost her.
Yeah, northern Illinois, though. Maybe she'll call in again.
I was wondering if she was thinking maybe about the Mississippi Palisades. They have camping. It's great campground area there, and also another nice site up there is called Apple River State Canyon State Park. It's supposedly one of the darkest state parks, and a local astronomy club periodically sets up there to do stargazing because there aren't as many lights.
Okay, and that's in the Galena area.
Near the Galena area.
Yeah. So also in that area, there would be opportunities for staying in Galena and
making a
long weekend of it. Mm-hmm. Or what are the options for lodges in state parks and in cabins? Are there some?
Pier Marquette has lodges. Giant City State Park has lodges, and also Starved Rock.
Starved Rock.
That's the one drawback about the cache is it doesn't have any campgrounds, but like I said, Fern Cliff State Park is not that far away from it, so there would be a place for people to stay.
All right. What have you learned over the years about avoiding problems on the trail?
One of my biggest problems and also phobias is chiggers. Even though I'm an entomologist, I don't like chiggers. So, you know, I'm always trying to use insect repellent, and ticks are another that can be another problem. You need to remember to spray your ankles, tuck your pants in your hiking socks. You know, you might look a little dorky, but that's better than getting covered with ticks. And I have had that experience of forgetting to spray and picking up what's called seed ticks, the little teeny pinhead-sized ticks, and having my legs covered with those. So I recommend spraying your ankles when you go out. And especially if it's an area that has a lot of deer and it's grassy, try to stay on the dirt path or the trail.
Okay. What advice do you have for us in terms of footwear?
I like to wear a Gore-Tex shoe because I'm usually, it could be wet or dewy. It seems to always rain when I want to hike. Just really good foot support. It doesn't have to be, you know, your heavy-duty old leather hiking boot. They make a lot of great brands or shoes nowadays.
Yeah, and there's some really heavy-duty, what we used to call sneakers, available now that are terrific. They offer your feet a lot of support. What do you keep in your day pack?
Your
notebook?
My notebook, sometimes a snack, water. I always carry my binoculars because I want to see the birds. I want to see what else is going on. And like you said, we're photographers, so we always have a camera. And I also carry a small first aid kit that happens to attach to my pack because you just never know, you know, what's going to happen.
Okay, very good. What kind of tips might you share with us this afternoon for taking good photographs out there on the trail?
Well, probably the biggest tip is usually we don't take photos between 10 and 3 because the lighting is very harsh. Don't try to force it, you know, even though you're there and you see something great. Well, you know, I guess you can take the photo, but it's probably not going to be the best. And a lot of times people take a lot of photos in dappled light. They're not going to turn out.
Yeah.
Although the digital cameras are a lot more forgiving than the film cameras are.
Yeah. Sometimes I just like to leave the camera at home and not worry about it.
When I was writing this book, I found I could not photograph and write and hike. I cannot do all three at the same time.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't have the camera, you know, you find yourself just more in the place, in the space, in the time, in the moment.
You're just observing more.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana on line one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I tuned in a little late, and I just wanted to say how... if people don't know, just how fortunate we are to have Sue Post and Mike Jeffords doing these books and writing for us because of the beautiful writing style that they have. But also, in addition to her book, I don't know if people are aware of the little magazine called The Illinois Steward, where there are articles frequently by Sue. And the one in this issue that doesn't have to do with hiking as much as it has to do with prairie has really... really been interesting to me. So I would just like to say, keep up the great work for us, Sue.
Oh, thank you.
Because I think a lot of people are not aware of all of our natural trails and things. They think we're just, you know, a corn and soybean operation. So just want to say thanks.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Illinois Steward Magazine, tell us a little bit about it. You're a staff writer.
The Illinois Steward Magazine comes out 4 times a year, so it's like winter, spring, fall. It's published. It's supported by University of Illinois Cooperative Extension at the moment, and it is what people might call a hidden gem of the state. We're always looking for new subscribers. We have a website, so you could just Google Illinois Steward Magazine, and it should come up. It's just about interesting things that happen in the state. And as the caller just mentioned, this issue that just came out is all about prairies. So we have how you can plant a prairie. Someone has talked about the reconstruction work they've done. I have a 10-page article on prairies of Illinois and what you might see at some of these different prairies. And a colleague of mine has an interesting article on prairie cicadas. He calls it What Puts the Pea in Prairie, and it's about the insects Well, let's just leave it to your imagination what they might be doing.
All right. Well, we'll have to get out there and look for that issue of the Illinois Steward magazine. Speaking of extension, Todd Gleason brought something in for us.
Todd reminded us about the paved trail at Lake of the Woods. And it's a Champaign County Forest Preserve, and it does have a nice 3-mile paved trail. So thank you, Todd, for
and
that.
It's got a nice visitor center museum, and you can also bike out there.
Right.
Very nicely. So
and it has that nice lake, so you could see what's going on at the lake.
Yeah, we got the Sangamon.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place.
It is a good place. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Susan Post has been our guest in this portion of the program. Sue, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. She is the author of Hiking Illinois. It's in its second edition. It's published by Human Kinetics. My name is Celeste Quinn, and now with me in the studio is Rita Schulte.
Hi, how are you doing, Celeste?
And I'm Susan. Fine. So we've been making some headway toward closing the gap.
Yes, we have. We started this morning hoping to hear from 250 callers by 8 o'clock this evening. So far, Celeste, we've heard from 74, and we'd like to say thank you to each of you who have called and made a pledge or gone online to help support WILL and help us get closer to our end-of-year goal so that we can bring you more great shows like the Afternoon Magazine interview you've been enjoying this evening. You know, Celeste, I think that sometimes people take for granted the wonderful things that are right around them. You know, there are people who actually come here to look at what's going on, and we live here. And I imagine that people who live next to the Taj Mahal think the same way. You just never, you never have the same respect for something that's right in your backyard that's a real treasure as somebody who comes here to look at it. And every once in a while, it's great to have someone like Sue come on Afternoon Magazine to remind us of the wonderful things that are right here. And if we can draw a tortured analogy, we could say that WILL Radio is one of those unsung treasures as well, except for those who have discovered it. If that's you and you have yet to make a contribution this year, we hope you will think about it. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, and then act on it. Make that pledge of support.
Okay, very good. 244-9455, the number to make a pledge of financial support. You can also join us online with the credit card at our secure site willpledge.org.